you very much. I am the director of the LTT for Tots at Dorchester House, but I'll be talking about something completely different because I'm also a member of the Oral Health Steering Committee of the American Academy of Pediatrics, and I've done work with them to really push for a greater involvement of pediatricians, especially in prevention of oral disease. Basically, early childhood cavities, I'm preaching to the choir here. It's a very prevalent disease. It's more common in kids that are underserved, kids that are on Medicaid. And it's a disease that in reality is completely preventable. Maybe not 100%, but we definitely can make a huge difference with education and early intervention. The risk factors for early childhood cavities are listed, and we are familiar, I suppose, with those. But basically, exposures to sugar, the presence of the bacteria strep mutans, and the oral health history of both the mothers and the siblings of a child. Moving in the wrong direction. What we are really advocating as American Academy of Pediatrics is getting pediatricians a little bit more on board in talking to parents early about the importance of oral health and ultimately starting them on the right, track. Stephen was mentioning before, and by the way, I'm not related to Stephen, even if we share part of our last name. The pediatricians are providers that are viewed highly by families, and what we do with them, what we teach them, what we advise them to do often, goes to good, produces good results. These are basically the rules of the pediatricians. Identify those children that are at high risk for early disease, do an oral screening, provide anticipatory guidance to parents, and then plus or minus applying fluoride varnish, because fluoride varnish, now we know, it's a very powerful tool that can be used even in a non-dental environment to apply on the teeth to prevent dental cavities. And of course, the most important thing is to refer them to a dentist to secure a dental home. So this is basically what the pediatricians do. They assess the risk for the child. They advise about proper nutrition, like skip the aisle with the sugary cereals, and basically teach parents how to instruct their kids in brushing their teeth, and then some behavioral modification as well. So it ties very well with the job of pediatricians. So these are the things that the American Academy of Pediatrics has actually done. There is an oral health initiative that I'm a member of the American Academy of Pediatrics. The third edition of the Bright Future Guidelines is coming out. Much emphasis in these new ones on nutrition, on oral health, and well-being, psychiatric well-being of children. And this is actually a module that has been developed by the American Academy of Pediatrics as a teaching tool for pediatricians, not just for pediatricians, but in general for medical / paramedical providers. So this study, the results of the study that I'm presenting today are really assessing what the training of pediatricians is regarding oral health and what the attitudes of pediatricians in training is regarding their role as, in oral health. So what we did, basically, we sent out a survey. The American Academy of Pediatrics on a yearly basis sends out a survey to residents, to pediatric residents, and every year, besides the usual questions about satisfaction with residency programs, there are also questions that are focused on a particular topic. And last year, the focus was on oral health. So this is basically the surveys that were sent, 1,000, and we had 611 back out of that for about 60% return. These are a little bit the demographics of the population that basically responded to the survey. And basically, as I said before, oral disease is very prevalent in pediatric patients, and it doesn't surprise us that basically a lot of the pediatric residents indeed see quite a bit of oral disease in their patients during residency. So when it comes to like their attitudes toward the role that they should play in oral health, it seemed like pretty much a lot of them agreed that there was a place for the pediatricians, you know, like in terms of like advising parents. Some of the things that they felt comfortable or they felt they should, the pediatrician should be doing is definitely like, you know, talking about sleeping with a bottle, you know, with the sugary substance in, basically advise them against the use of carbonated beverages and sugary beverages like such a juice. Basically identify children that had already cavities, so they were at high risk. And, you know, like, basically, like, the attitudes kind of decreased in terms of how complicated the tasks were. So the more complicated the task got, the less, you know, basically likely they were to say that that was going to be their job. And I think that it's more related, really, to the comfort level than to really how complicated that is. And I'll explain that, you know, later. So basically, like, you know, the majority of them say that, you know, they thought that pediatricians should play a role. And it was interesting to see that basically those pediatricians that were, thinking about going into primary care, working in underserved communities, were actually the most interested, which is great because actually those are the pediatricians that we really want to target because those are the pediatricians that are going to work with those 25% of kids that are the ones that are high risk, and we can make a big difference in the quality of life of these kids. So in terms of the training, though, I mean, we were doing really bad. So when we assessed the residency programs in oral health training, 35%, which is, you know, more than a third of the residents, you know, say that they had not received any training whatsoever. So nobody ever mentioned to them anything about teeth or mouth. And basically, like, you know, the majority of them, if they did hear anything, had less than 3 hours training or less than 3 hour exposure to oral health disease. Only 21% felt that residency was adequate in preparing them. And that's what it is. I mean, really, oral health is at the bottom of the the list here because 21% is really, you know, the least amount of satisfaction in terms of what they get during residency. So this is the self-confidence, and this goes back to the slide that I presented before. As you can see, you know, like, you know, their confidence parallels, you know, the basically what kind of roles they wanted to play before. So if I'm confident, I'm likely to say that I want to do it. If I'm not confident, you know, that I don't want to do it. And this is actually the mirror image of the other slide, saying that if I provide education to these residents, I'm more likely to make them feel, well, I can do this, I'll do it. So here I'll explain a little bit this slide because actually it was confusing to me. So specifically for the letters A, B, and C, this is really to look at the statistical significance of the self-confidence as it relates to the training. And it's basically to reiterate the point that I just made before, which is actually, if you look at A, the little superscript A indicates that whatever you see an A in the second column down, which is less than 3 hours of training, basically that was statistically significant compared to the residents that had no training whatsoever, which is the first column. So less than 3 hours, more than 3 hours is the amount of training, and then the numbers down are basically the confidence. And whenever there is a superscript of A in the second column, means that their result is statistically significant. So the residents that got at least, you know, like some oral training, felt even much more comfortable in doing the tasks, you know, the simple tasks, the tasks such as informing about the effect of the bottle and the use of sugary carbonated beverages. Then the other column, like when you see like the B, is basically how statistically significant that item is compared to the second column, the less than 3 hours. I know it's complicated. It took me a little time to understand, but once I understood, basically every time the A relates to the statistical significance of the second column versus the first column, the B, the statistical significance of the third column compared to the second column, and the C, the statistical significance of the third column compared to the first column. I'm sorry, it's confusing, but I was not the one that basically decided to present it this way. So I'm just kind of the messenger here. And if you have questions about that, but basically, you know, the bottom line, as I said before, you are more confident in providing oral health advice the more education you get. That's it. That's my basically distilling out the message here. So again, I mean, these are like the confidence. Am I going backwards again?
Yeah.
Sorry. So the conclusions, the ones that we say, like basically most graduating pediatric residents would like to do something about the, you know, their patients' oral health because they've seen a lot of disease. The majority of the pediatric residency programs, however, don't cover oral health as part of like the training. And then, you know, we don't have to do a lot. So, you know, to really make the residency programs directors buy into this, it doesn't really take rocket science. Like, you know, I've learned about oral health. I didn't know anything when I graduated. And now I feel very confident, super confident. Okay? So, you know, I'm just saying it doesn't take very, very much to learn the basics. I'm not going to be a dentist, so I don't need to go to dental school to learn what I need. So basically what we are trying to do now is to really make a case for an increased training of pediatric residents on oral health, specifically on prevention of oral disease, increase an opportunity for interdisciplinary collaboration. Once again, as Dr. Rossetti was saying, you know, if pediatricians and dentists can work together and can basically like kind of help each other, then we can basically really synergize rather than working in parallel and not understanding what each other is, you know, is doing. And then addressing also the barriers that we have right now in the involvement of pediatricians. And one thing that comes to mind to me is about, I don't know if you're familiar now with the fact that Medicaid programs in many states are mandating pediatricians to do mental health screening. But with that mandate also comes a small amount of money that is added to the EPSDGs for pediatricians. So, like, you know, really pediatricians, to get another thing on their plate, I mean, you know, it's going to be also a financial barrier. So there is the education barrier that can be easily, like, basically fulfilled. There is the time barrier, and obviously there is the reimbursement barrier that we will have to work out again. So in this, I believe. I am a pediatrician, so, you know, I definitely believe in this, and I just wanted to share that with you because I think that if we just stopped, not just, you know, like, is APHA, but even up on Capitol Hill, and thought about this, you know, we would not have to fight to get the ships reauthorized because I think it's really sad that we have to discuss this. So there you go. Recognizing chalky white spots, if you know where to look for disease when it early appears. Once again, I'm doing this. I've been doing this for 5 years in my program, the LTT for Thoughts. It's not rocket science, again. But I think that what it brings out here, that these residents never had any exposure. And if you see about the chalky white spots and the early disease, you will see that the ones that go more than 3 hours felt much more comfortable. And that goes to the superscripts B and C's that I was talking to you about. You will see that that's statistically significant better when you get some training. And it doesn't have to be that much. Actually, this one was not based on any training. While Stephen, for example, presented that they did 8 sessions of things, this is just in general assessing what kind of oral health training in any shape or form, if anyone ever mentioned to them about teeth rather than tonsils in their training. And so I think that that was a very generic thing. I mean, next year I'll present my program and the results that I'm having, and I'll let you see what we are doing up in Massachusetts. It's very, very encouraging.